God is in control. Say that with me. God is in control. Doesn't that give you a little comfort, saying that out loud? You know, all week long I've been talking with different people, post-election, of course, that have been very distressed, have been upset. Two individuals alone I talked to were in tears. Why do people treat each other this way? How can they be treating each other this way? Another person this past week, as I was talking to him, I had to say, why are you talking this way? I was related to that person. I had a little leeway to do those things. Why do we say and do the things that we do? Is God in control? You just repeated after me that God is in control. You affirmed that. God is in control. This morning as I was sitting in class, I don't know what it was. I had a real sense of peace and a sense of joy as I was thinking about my lesson that I wanted to bring to you today. I was thinking, God is in control. And I was feeling good about it. I was feeling good about Jerry's lesson. I was feeling good about the songs that Tink led for us this morning, getting us in line with this very subject this morning, that God is in control. You know, just a few years ago, there was a popular song on the radio by Carrie Underwood, Jesus Take the Wheel. You're familiar with that, right? You've heard that before. It's a really sweet song about a young girl that's going home to see her folks at Christmas, and she's got her child with her, and she loses control of the car on some black ice because she wasn't paying attention. And in that frightful moment, she just throws her hands up in the air and says, Jesus, take the wheel. Jesus, take the wheel. Now, I had to listen to that song a couple times because I was trying to recall all the events in this young girl's life, and it's because she wasn't living the way that she was supposed to. She hasn't been in prayer, and she hadn't been doing the things that each of us as Christians need to do when we demonstrate in a life that God is in control of our life. Are we living a life that's based on God in control? If not, hopefully we're going to discover some things this morning from Scripture that's going to make you feel a little bit jazzed up inside, like I think I was this morning as I was thinking about this lesson, that God, in fact, is in control. I've been studying the book of Daniel for the past few weeks in preparation for the book of Revelation that we're going to start teaching on Wednesday night. And I was thinking about these lines that I want to say to you, that God rules the nation and God is in control, and the everlasting kingdom, the kingdom that will never be destroyed. How Daniel describes, or God describes through Daniel, all the kingdoms of the earth that are going to be done away with and smashed into bits and pieces, and it's going to be done by that small stone cut without human hands that Daniel describes as the church. Daniel would go on to further describe 700 years of history, of kingdoms. They're going to come and they're going to go. Maybe you remember some of those descriptions, that the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and the visions of Daniel about that great big statue that had that head of gold and the body and all the different metals and then the feet made of clay and iron that don't really mix together. And Daniel would describe those kingdoms, that Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold, this great kingdom that God has given to you. You are this kingdom. But one's going to come after you that's not going to be as great as this head of gold. And it's going to fall. And the next one's going to fall. Daniel goes out of his way, or God goes out of his way later, to describe who these images are. We learn the Medes and the Persians and the Greeks, Alexander's generals. You see, kingdoms come and go. But one thing's for sure, when you study the book of Daniel, God is in control of the nations. God is in control of my life. He's in control of my decision-making process. He's even involved in my life. Is He involved in yours? Is God in control and involved in the way you think and the way you act and the way you live? One of the persons I was talking to, when they asked me, why are people acting the way that they're acting, hurting each other? And I said, it's because God is not in control of their life. God is not in control of their life and their actions. So this morning, let's take a few minutes to look at a few ways that we as Christians can let God have control of our life. That first way is knowledge. We need to have a knowledge that God is in control. You can open up your Bible to the very first few pages and find out that God created everything. He created man, He created animals, He created seasons and times. God is in control. God is, not only is He in control of all these things, He's in control of man and the woman. He's in control of the family. See, God is in control in every facet of our lives. What we can see and what we can hear, and even the things that we can't see and hear. God is in control of those things. The Bible teaches God is in control. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures this morning. First, Proverbs 19:21. There are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. You see, the things that we think we know, God says, no, I am in control. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to, catch this with me, His purpose, not ours. Now, I was talking with my son this past couple weeks. He's been really discouraged because his shoulder's all torn up, and he's a young Marine, and he's worried about his future in the Marine Corps and the surgery, how it's going to affect. And he says, they're just going to process me out. I know it, Dad. And, you know, when you start thinking like that, you start to perpetuate that kind of thinking and that kind of acting. Matter of fact, he's the one that I said this week, why are you talking this way? He was so frustrated. He was saying things to me that really angered me. And I said, Josh, when you call and talk to your mom, don't you dare talk to her that way. God is in control. I said, Josh, you need to start living your life like the Joseph principle. Now, some of you may know exactly what I'm talking about. If Joseph was not one who knew God was in control of his life, how could he say towards the end of his life, with all the events that happened to him, cast into slavery by his brothers that didn't like him, his father that showed favoritism to him that he should have never shown, in Potiphar's house, getting thrown in prison, being taken out of prison, and finally being second only to Pharaoh, when his brothers, at the end of their father's life, Jacob said, please don't deal harshly with us. And he comes to him nearly a second time and says, guys, the things you did to me, you did it for evil. But God intended it for good. What if we lived our life that way? Thinking that everything that happens to us, God is going to take a tragedy in our life and turn it into spiritual growth. If God is in control of your life, that's what will happen. Stop living like God is not in control of our lives. That's what I'd like to say to the nation right now. Stop living as if God is not in control. But see, God is not in control of everyone's life. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts and what I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Now, God was talking to Israel, and a lot of times we read this, we take this to heart, but the principle of this is God knows what He has in store for us, and that is a home in eternity with Him and God forever. Folks, is God in control of your life? If He is, you know that God wants you with Him. He didn't even spare His own Son, Jesus Christ, so that you could come to salvation. What? That's amazing. That God didn't even withhold Jesus for your sake. Matthew 19:26. But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." You see, God is in control. And if God is in your life, the possibilities, folks, are endless for you. Endless eternity, your salvation. Isaiah 55:8-11. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth a bud, and it may give seed to the sower and the bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I send it." You know, we can have confidence in God's word. God says through the prophet Isaiah that whenever God speaks and His word goes forth, it doesn't return to Him empty. It does what He pleases. That means some men's hearts are going to be convicted and allow God to be in control of their life, and some folks are not going to. You know, a lot of times we live in fear that when we talk to people and we want to talk about the wonderful things that God has done through Christ Jesus in our life, and, well, they might say, "I don't care." Or they may not, or they may get mad at me. Or they might stop being my friend. All those things aside, when we speak God's word, it goes out and accomplishes its purpose. Don't worry about the response. God's word has power. God is in control of our life. Isaiah 40:12-15. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of His hand? Measured heaven with the span and calculated the dust of the earth in a measure. Weighed the mountains in the scales and the hills in a balance. Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or has His counsel taught Him? With whom did He take counsel, and whom instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop in the bucket, and are counted as small as the dust on the scales. Look, He lifts up the isles as a very little thing." See, God is in control. There is no one that gives counsel to God. No one instructs Him. He is in control of everything. Nature teaches us, so the Bible teaches us that God is in control. Nature teaches us that God is in control because the Bible tells us this. Romans 1:19-20, "Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are," get this, "clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." See, mankind has no excuse. They can recognize that God is in control by creation and nature. So see, we need to have the knowledge that God is in control. The Bible teaches us that, and nature teaches us that God is in control. Secondly, confidence. We need to have confidence that God is in control. Paul was confident of God in his life and that control that he had over his life. Romans 8, 31 through 39. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Is it Christ who died and furthermore is also risen? Who is even, who is even at the right hand of God who also makes intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sakes we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are made more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul's confidence was complete confidence. If God is for us, who can be against us? That's nobody. He didn't even spare Jesus. Who shall charge us? Man can't. Satan surely can't. God is on our side. Who shall separate us? Distress? No. Persecution? No. Famine? No. Nakedness? No. Peril? No. Sword? No. All these things that have such a strong allure to us in the flesh. What can separate us? Death? No. This life? No. Angels? No. Principalities? No. Powers? No. Daniel 2 speaks of the kingdom, a kingdom that will never be destroyed. Daniel 2:44. Daniel 3, the story of Nebuchadnezzar, that or of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that Ken read. Did you catch what those guys said? Towards the end, it says in verse 17, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O King. This is my favorite part. But even if he doesn't, even if he does it, let it be known, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Folks, that's confidence in God. Paul had confidence. These three men had confidence that God was going to deliver them. But I love that. But even if he doesn't, we will not serve you, nor your gods. That's confidence. Thirdly, so that the Christian can let God have control of their life, is we need to have peace. We need to have peace. Jesus wanted his apostles to have peace. John 14, 27 through 30. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said, I am going to the Father. For my Father is greater than I, and now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk on this subject. Jesus wanted his apostles to have confidence and peace in this message. Peace of God. Peace, we learned last week, we talked about that reconciliation. We talked about it several weeks ago. We have been reconciled to God. That transgression that was out there up over our heads holding us back, God was doing that through Christ Jesus, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. God reconciled us to himself. The transgression's been dealt with. The wrath has been dealt with. Folks, you can have peace that you've been reconciled to God. When you do that, you let God have control in your life. Peace, free from wrath, free from the transgression. Peace that Jesus is going to return and take us to the Father. Those are good things, folks. Those are good things. Fourthly, we need to live in a hope. Romans 15:13, now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God's given you part of something that's bigger than us. It's the Spirit of God. He sealed you with that. Ephesians chapter 1. He's given you that identifiable mark. People ask us all the time, what are your hopes and dreams? You ever been asked that before? What are your hopes and your dreams? We sing a song and it's interesting. Tink, you let off with that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. You see, that's having complete confidence in the blood of Jesus Christ. Jerry filled us in again this morning at the table about that blood and that body. It's so powerful. The imagery is so powerful for us that we have a perpetual Lord's Supper where we remember the blood of the new covenant. That Christ's blood still cleanses us today. 2,000 years later after his death, it still is active and it's still cleansing us. Hope in his righteousness. See, Jesus' righteousness will prevent him from doing anything contrary to what he has promised us. That means if you love God and you obey Jesus Christ according to the gospel, according to the apostles' doctrine in Acts 2:42 and following, that if you live that in your life and you obey it and you accept it and you walk in it and you have confidence that his righteousness, he is going to return one day and he is going to take us back to the Father. And we're going to live eternally with God. Because of Christ's blood and his righteousness. With all that's going on in the world right now, we need to remember that God is in control of our lives. Let's say that again together. God is in control. Do you mean it? Do you live it? Do you walk in it? Again, last week, a lot of people talked to me about the actions and the things that have been going on in the world. You know, I thought for a minute, could that come to Warland, Wyoming? I thought to myself, no, no. But do we live a life and do we walk in a life that says and demonstrates to those around us that God is in control? Those people that are hurting people and saying hurtful things, they're not living and walking in a life that God is in control. You see, they don't have confidence, and they don't have knowledge, and they don't have a peace, and they don't live in the hope that God is in control of their lives. Because how could they? Actions speak louder than words. We've heard this before, haven't we? So are you walking as if God is in control of your life? Are you living as if God is in control? So we need to live it, walk it. We need to react. And we need to demonstrate that God is in control. In knowledge, in confidence, in peace, and hope. If we live our life this way, then we will truly demonstrate that God is in control. If you've been living your life like God is not in control, well, there's hope. There's hope. Just by the very things we spoke about this morning. Get in God's Word. See how God is in control. Be confident. Look at those around you who have confidence that God is in control of their life. Have the peace of God and live in a hope. There is hope for you if you'll let God live in your life. The invitation is yours. God is in control. Won't you come as we stand and sing together?